JT, if you would.
People at Cheetah send their greeting once again. We had a pretty good morning this morning. I was afraid we wouldn't. They got tearing out all the bridges at Huntsville. You can't get on this side on the southbound lanes hardly up there. I don't know why. Got to take all them out and start over, but we are. I guess we just got some money we need to spend all that and stuff. Down at New Waverly, they tore that bridge out, and that caught us one day. We sat along there for a long time. Now they're building 6 lanes of freeway over a 2-lane road. See, that's what I've been saying all the time. They're just throwing our money away, and then when they get it all spent, they say, we don't have any money. Need to raise your taxes some more. We were singing this morning. I also remembered Cheetah once again. One complaint I got about those people. They won't sing. They're all this so low. I can't hear nobody but me when we're up there. They don't have anything to help drown you out, you know. I like for people to sing up so I don't sound so bad. Yeah. That's one good thing. Rebecca is there. And she used to go off with them, but she's got a job now. So, yeah, they were all, whole family was there. So. Anyway, that's really good that Rebecca's there to play that piano, though, and she does a good job. Lord raised her up and helped us out on that. Turn with me to the 3rd chapter of the book of John this morning. I don't know if this would be as much commentary as reading scripture this morning. One has come upon the scene to introduce Jesus. Make way straight. Clean all rocks out of the highway and get it smoothed up. And have testimony as to the superiority of one that's coming. He's going to be ahead of all things. I don't know where to begin here. Another thing I might mention, though. John 3:16, there surely isn't anybody in this world that hadn't heard that. Most know it. It's a testimony against most people, though. That they know this, and I drive by and I'm sometimes amused by how many times you look around the church houses and you'll see something relevant to John 3:16. Want to all get it on the sign. It's good. It's good. I'm not knocking it. What I'm knocking is that the testimony is just everything. And men don't pay any attention. It just rolls off of them like. And sometimes I fear that we're afraid to go to John 3:16 because it has been so misused and abused. For God so loved the world that they stop there at the end of it. And they pull God down to their level and end this most of the time. It's not good. 18th verse, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Judgment has come. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil one comment here. If you're preaching the truth and man's deeds are evil, he won't be long. He'll turn from you. He'll get out of your way and he won't bother you anymore. That's the kind of way with this easy salvation deal. You go preaching the truth and people begin to lose their salvation, or what they think is their salvation, they're going to get away from you. They don't want no part of that. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. And the truth is sometimes hard on us. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In verse 22, we get down to the heart of the thing. And these things, after these things, came Jesus and his disciples unto the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. I don't know all it is about this, but except that they were in the same situation what we just read about, they didn't believe. And condemnation is set in upon them. And they were wanting to argue. They had the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the whole mess. And it reminds me of our days when everybody knows everything. And they want to argue about everything. Say, well, you got to interpret the scripture. No, most of it interprets itself. That's what we're going to do this morning, read a little interpretation. Most of it interprets itself, and the problem is that they don't see the light. They've not come to it. They don't have any care for it. And they'd rather you just be quiet. And there, these people here are avoiding the principal thing that has been set forth. They want to argue about purifying. And I don't know whether this baptism had a lot to do with it or not, except that they went through great lengths in washings and those kind of things, those carnal things, to try to gain their salvation or prove up. And this come then become a dispute. It's all about purifying, they said. But it wasn't what it was about. And they came and John said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. Got a little problem here. John, you losing your grasp. Your preaching is not very good. And they are all coming to this one, and they dared not even call his name, said this one that was with you over yonder. Isn't that something? And they were arguing about being purified. Look here, John. They all coming in. They flocking over yonder. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. They can go here or they can go there, and they can do all that. And they're flocking over there now. They were flocking over here, and what they're doing is not going to gain heaven, unless it be given them from heaven. You're not going to get it except it be given. And it must come from heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He giveth. He hath given. He gave this to them. They were both preaching the same thing. There's one coming. Hear ye him. But no, they won't argue about purifying or anything else. They thought they had the wisdom and the knowledge and all these things. But they failed to see the light. This one that has come upon the scene. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not Christ. Make no mistake about this. I never claimed to be Christ. I said there was one coming. Hear ye him. That's what he's preaching all the time out there. Now all come out there at one point and said, we want to be baptized. Oh, you generation of vipers, go on back to town. And come back when you have need of repentance. They still is arguing about something else. No repentance in them. They want to argue about everything. As long as a man is unrepentant, he's going to argue. Until he is repentant and he humbles himself and bows down before Holy God, there's always that argument. Well, we have to interpret it. No. The scripture interprets itself. It's none of it is of any private interpretation. We must know. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me, Jesus said. He that hath the I am not Christ, but that I am sent before him, what, to make the way straight and tell you that there is one coming that every knee is going to bow down to. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled, John said. He hath come. And what? We hear. And that our joy is full in hearing that he has come. We're coming into that season when they're going to say that over and over and over. But is their joy fulfilled that they hear the bridegroom and all Lord's people come to hear? That's what we've come together this morning for, is to hear. And the Lord's people are always waiting to hear what he has to say. And they wait. In verse 30, he said he must increase. And I must decrease. And all the Lord's people have that same attitude. He must increase. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. And that's what they is talking. See, that's what he's chastising these people that have come out here arguing. This is what it's all about. It isn't about purifying or any other little old fiddling thing that y'all can do in the flesh. It speaketh of the earth, and he that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony unless it be given him from heaven. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. And in him is no darkness at all. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Not unto him he didn't. It was full. It was full. Here is one. Here ye him. And he's above all. And all else must decrease. And he must increase. Always. In the heart of his people, that's the way it is. It's him. Nothing of us. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In the book of Malachi, in the 3rd chapter, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Now, these people didn't have any excuse, did they? They'd come to argue with John. It had been told to them and told to them, there's one coming. Hear ye him. To his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For like fuller soap, a refiner's fire, and like fuller soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the idolaters and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages and widow and the fatherless and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If it hadn't been given from heaven, they would all been consumed. And we would never been. But the Lord did not do that. He sent one to make straight way and tell of one that was coming. that would save his people. In 4 chapter, verse 2 said, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and draw up his calves of the stall." And what are you going to do? Carry out the duty that God has given you. Go out and preach the gospel. In the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. It's all familiar stuff, but it don't hurt. We look at it again. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Isn't that something? It's finished. It's done. Y'all were looking for something else and you missed it. Because y'all was worried about purifying. And the purifying that's going to come isn't anything like purifying you're thinking about. It's going to wash you all right. You're going to be made clean with the righteousness of Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them that their warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's what I was just talking about this John 3:16. Everybody wants to put it up on something and read it. But they've missed, most of them missed the whole point. Lord said it. And the voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. And the grass withereth and the flower fadeth because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever." O Zion that bringeth forth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. And that can be the only message that we have in our day also, is behold your God.
Seems like there's two extremes. One is either, as J.T. says, people know more than you do, and they're have no reason to listen to you because they already know more than you do. They're like Bruce's friend that read the Bible twice. On the other hand, there are those that know nothing and want to know nothing. Leave me alone. So, in either case, it's hard to get an audience for very long because the one doesn't want to hear because he already knows it, and the other one doesn't want to hear because he doesn't care. So, but here's the real question for us today. What about we? Are we glad to be here this morning? Now, if I like some of these newfangled churches, I'd get up and I'd have you say something or raise your hand or shake each other's hand or do something, you know, to get you all excited. But if you weren't excited when you got up this morning and thought about the Lord and His day, Bruce, then probably you're not much interested even now. But I trust that we do have come. And we're not here to worship John, are we? Sister Joyce came in this morning and she was talking about that very thing. Said she is wanting to go to church because to disappoint the pastor. But then she got to thinking, well, that's not really the reason I want to go to church. I just don't want to disappoint the Lord. We don't want to be creature worship, but we want to worship the God of heaven, He that is from above is above all. So here we are this morning, enjoying a common salvation. And who are we? But those which have been called out of darkness into light, the light that is the Lord Jesus Himself. I was thinking this morning about, again, the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, talking about the Lord, He that dwelleth in the light that no man can approach unto. Most of my life, I understood that light to be like this light or that light, except just so bright that you couldn't stand it. But that's not really it. The light that no man can approach unto is that knowledge that's in Him that no man can begin to understand. And that is that's a great light. And we believe that this book right here contains that light, at least to the degree that He has intended for us to have in this lifetime. But still, the secret things. So there must be some secret things. The secret things belong unto God. But those things that are revealed, they belong unto us and to our children. Except that if we withhold it from our children, what have we done? We've robbed them, haven't we? So I trust, I hope and pray that we will not withhold these things from our children. Now don't misunderstand me. Children get to the point to where you really don't have any control over them, do you? In fact, they'll get to the point to where they want to control you. If it gets to that point, to that degree at least, nothing you can do. But while they're young, oh, may God give mercy to instruct them. When you're awake, when you lie down in your bed, when you walk by the wayside, whenever, give them instruction in the things of the Lord.